Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot of talk these days, talk about the role of religion. A lot of folks will say the role of religion is to make the world a better place. And whatever the religion might be, whatever the beliefs, however it's taught, it's said that the goal and the purpose is to improve ourselves and to improve the world. There's a problem with that, though. The problem is, Jesus didn't come to make this world a better place. In the beginning, he made this world very good. Then we ate ourselves out of house and home, right? We ruined it with our sin. Adam, Eve, you, me. The list of sinners is long and distinguished. If you are one, you're in good company, I guess. But if Jesus had come to make this world a better place, you know what? You know you better than I do. You know we'd just mess it up again. It happens in our lives. It happens all over the world. Sin, the effect of sin on creation, it breaks our lives, our relationships. It messes everything up. Sin tears people apart. It causes divisions. Sin causes strife between nations. Sin really has kind of one purposeful goal, right? It's to divide, to conquer, to use and manipulate, to connive and to scheme. The religions of man, the religions of the world, they would say, well, we just need to overcome those things. They say that we can and we must. And we do that through fellowship and greater effort and by reaching down into the good that's in all of us. Well, some people come up with that thinking, hey, this is a new idea. It's been tried before. It's been tried a number of times before. It always fails. For thousands and thousands of years, it's been tried and failed. And it failed every single time. That's because the truth is, inside, we're all a little bit messed up. We can't do it ourselves. We can't fix this place on our own. The poison of sin's effect on us just runs too deep. And it always breaks out everywhere and anywhere it can. And in spite of our good intentions, even in spite of the best intentions, trying to stop sin is kind of like that story of the little boy who sticks his finger in the dam to plug the hole, only to have another hole pop open and then another, and eventually the whole thing just comes tumbling down. That's kind of what sin does to us, right? Sin is doing this to everything in the world. That's what we watch sin do to Juanita. It just keeps poking and poking and chipping, trying to tear her down. That's what sin does to all of us. It pokes at us, it picks at us, and eventually it kills us. And that's really the problem. You see, even if we could fix every other problem, we can't fix that one. We can't fix death. That's the problem with this world. No matter how good you make it, it all looks like it ends up the same. Death is that thing that comes for all of us. It's coming for you. So, do you really want Jesus to make this world a better place? Not really. Because better still ends in death. That's why St. Paul said, if Christ is our hope in this life only, we deserve more pity than any other people. Because what a small and insignificant hope that would be for Jesus just to make this world a better place. It sounds good, but the truth is it wouldn't really be very good. That's why Jesus has not come to make this world a better place. He came to rescue us from what we did to this place, to rescue us from the effects of sin, to rescue us from death that is the result of that sin, and to rescue us from hell, which is our only destination because of that sin. Which doesn't sound like all that great of news without Jesus, does it? It's a pitiful future for us, but then that day came. Resurrection Day. Easter Day. That was not the day that Jesus fixed this place. That was the day he took a hammer to the walls of hell. He came to destroy the devil, to destroy his work, to destroy his kingdom. And it is because Jesus came to save us from sin, death, and the power of the devil that death no longer has ultimate power over us. He didn't come to put a patch on things. He didn't come to repair things. He came to build a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. Jesus says, "See, I am making all things new." Jesus came to give us something so completely new and so completely different that we could not live in it, in these bodies that have been touched and affected by sin. We need new bodies, resurrected bodies, new with sin removed, with sin, death, and the devil banished from them forever. St. Paul said, "Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." This means that Jesus is the first of those who will rise from the dust of eternal death to eternal life. That rising now is nothing more than rising from sleep. You see, he said, since a man, Adam, brought death, a man, Jesus, brought life back from death, just as everyone dies because of Adam, so also everyone is made alive because of Christ. So these messed up bodies someday do rise, but they're made new too, made perfect, made holy. They'll be made new and made to live in the new heaven and the new earth with Jesus in righteousness and purity forever. What other person or power could accomplish that? None of us could. What other person or power could deliver us from those kinds of enemies, including death? What other person could promise us such a future? No one. There is no other. Jesus alone is our hope in this life. He is our hope alone in our sickbed, and he is our hope alone in the grave. When enemies threaten and foes growl, when burdens loom large and seem like they're going to crush us, they cannot win, because we have one who is greater than them all. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He has won the victory. And in your baptism, you've been given that victory and new life. Just as Pharaoh, you remember that account, Pharaoh was pursuing Israel through the Red Sea, and they could pursue them to the Red Sea, but no further. They were drowned and died in those waters. That's what's like for sin coming after you. Sin can pursue you to the waters of your holy baptism, but no further. They are drowned, and they die there. And you are forgiven, and you are free. You are made into something new, a child of the Most High God, free to live your life, your new life, a life in Christ. Then you have reason to rejoice. We can rejoice with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven as we join them and they join us in that holy supper where our risen Lord gives us his body and his blood to eat and drink, and through that forgives us our sins and makes us something new, putting into us that life that cannot be extinguished, that life that died and rose again, that life that trampled Satan down, that life that left the grave behind and ascended into heaven, where we one day too will rise. There and then, our journey complete, but our life just beginning. The thing is, as you live that new life that you've been given through faith, as you live that here in this world, you really do make this world a better place, don't you? Juanita sure made this place a better place while she was here. Better for the people that she loved and cared for, and those who cared for and loved her. You see, as you live the life of Christ, as you speak the word of Christ, as you give the love of Christ, and as you forgive with that forgiveness of Christ, you make this world a little bit better. In all these ways, you're showing the world that the new life, the better life, the life of the world to come is the one we need to be focusing on. And when we do that, how can we not make a difference? So it's a tough day because we miss her. But it's still a day to rejoice because her battle's over and she's at peace. It's the same peace that's coming for you because Christ has made everything new. Jesus has changed everything. Juanita now enjoys that victory and life perfectly forever. Follow those steps. Keep hold of that faith because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.